Welcome to the Global Missions Inc. podcast. This week's episode features Robert Persaud.
Good evening. God is good.
All the time.
Some of the time. Every time.
God is good.
Praise the Lord. We are thankful to be here at Camp 2023.
Amen.
Here in, according to Brother Ford, sweet St. Vincent.
Amen.
And we're happy to be here. Thank you all for coming, and it was mentioned of the many sacrifices you've been through. But God knows these things, and He is your rewarder.
Yes.
Don't look to man, He is your rewarder.
Yes.
And you're here because God has allowed you to be here.
Yes.
And He wants you to be here to enjoy the blessings of God.
Amen.
God wants us to enjoy His blessings.
Amen.
The Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 27, God said, "Let us make man in our likeness and in our image." So that was a joint decision by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we were not an accident. We were divinely appointed by God.
Amen.
We were divinely put together by God.
Yes.
When we think of the human body, one of the most mysterious things, the doctors are amazed and they wonder about what's happening here. They do not understand. That's a mystery. So when God said, "Let's make man," that was a divine principle of unity between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And He's coming together and making man. He made man from what? From the dust of the earth. And I've learned this from a good friend of mine who is in the medical field. He said, when you look at the human body and you look at the natural elements in the earth that are found in the human body. Gold, diamond, some people say, they go to the doctor, they need more iron and copper and all these things. So God is God.
Amen.
Isn't that marvelous?
Amen.
How He made us.
Amen.
Out of these things and formed man. And after He formed man, Bible says, God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
Amen.
It's the breath of life. And God, what I love about the Lord, He does not want to operate in Himself. He wants us. You see, God could do everything by Himself, you know, because He is God. He wants us.
Yes.
His program is that He wants you to be part of that. So let's get with the program, people of God.
Yeah.
Let's just get and be submissive to God.
Yeah.
He's the best CEO in the world.
Yeah.
And He will work with you, and He will teach you and show you. You know, the Holy Spirit can just guide you. And so, this Psalm 133, behold!
Yeah.
What a marvelous word. Just pulling back the curtains and looking beyond, inside, deep inside, behold how good the goodness of God.
Amen.
And how pleasant,
yes,
the pleasantness,
yes,
it is for brethren,
yes,
to dwell together in unity. Because God is in unity,
yes,
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as I mentioned. So God wants us now to practice what He is doing. It's a godly principle. It's a divine principle to work together in unity. And ladies and gentlemen, the church will never move on except in unity.
Amen.
And so we need to operate in the unity of the Holy Spirit. And notice I did not even say unity, but I'm saying the unity of the Spirit. There's a difference between, for example, well, we don't have any Walmarts here, but we go to a big store and you want to buy a bicycle. And that bicycle is all in a box, isn't that so?
Yeah.
And we take home that box, then we have to take out the parts and we have to fit it together. And then, but they're all together in this box. They're together, but they're not in unity.
Yeah.
Until the pedals and the saddle and the handlebar and everything are fitted together,
yeah,
and the chain, then it must be functional, yeah, before it can work as a bicycle.
Yes.
And so look at the church now. Unless we, when we come together, right now we're gathered here. Right? And you know what? There's a gathering out there,
yeah,
with the political parties. Thousands of people gathered together. So it's not just being together, it's being functional together in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's what God wants. That is what He wanted.
Amen.
And so, when you operate this way, this is the way God operates. And He wants us to teach us these things, how we are to. So, the unity of the church. Behold, how good. How pleasant it is,
yes,
for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Yeah.
I'm going to confess this to you. This is one of my greatest struggles. And this is one of the greatest struggles in the church. Because to work in unity, it means understanding. It means submission,
yes,
to each other.
Yes.
And so unity starts with God.
Yes.
First of all, we have to have that unity with God.
Yes.
And being in unity with God, we have to obey His will.
Yes.
And do what He's saying to us. If we are fighting God and His will is in a certain direction and we want to go our own way,
yeah,
that's a God's trouble. That is not in unity. So the first unity is unity with God. Knowing the will of God. And if we can be in unity with God, we'll be in unity with one another.
Amen.
So I know that we are different. Thing is, this is amazing to understand how God made us. If there are, I don't know, 100 and something people here, there's 100 and something personalities. There are 100 and something difficulties.
Yeah.
And so, it's only the Holy Spirit can bring people together in the Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, it can only be done in the Spirit.
Amen.
It cannot be done no other way. So the United Nations has tried to do that. Different organizations and groups have tried. But they will never be able to achieve that. They may try and they're doing an excellent job. I have nothing against them, but it's only God can do that. For brethren to dwell together in unity. And that unity that the Lord talked about, he spoke about, he said, it is like the ointment, this precious ointment that ran down the beard of Aaron and down to his skirts. Because Aaron was the high priest and he was wearing the priestly garment, so that anointing oil would flow right down to the ground. And notice in that picture that touching the flesh of Aaron. Because the Holy Spirit does not anoint the flesh. The Holy Spirit does not anoint the flesh. Because one of our greatest struggles is to operate within the Holy Spirit, and we sometimes want to switch that and operate in carnality.
Yes.
And it don't work like that.
Amen.
It does not work like in the pond, out the pond. In the pond, out the pond. We have to submission to the Holy Spirit. And when God begins to move, we will know.
Yeah.
It's like that precious oil that flowed. That oil was specific. God gave the formula in the Old Testament for that anointing oil. And no one should try to imitate that. You know, some people try to imitate the anointing. Oh, yes. And one of the worst things that we can do is try to imitate.
Yeah.
And the best lesson in the world, you go to any lectures and classes, they'll tell you two words. Be yourself.
Yeah.
Be yourself and let the Lord use you. There's only one of you.
Yes.
Put your name in that rack. There's only one of you. And so God wants to use you. And the way He would use you is different to the way He would use me. So we're all different. And then we find that the psalmist, he shifted a little bit from that Aaronic priesthood picture of anointing. Because it's the anointing was emphasized here. The anointing. Without the anointing, we could do nothing. The little song that they sing, by the anointing, what happens?
Jesus
breaks the yoke. By the anointing, just as the prophet spoke. These are the days of the latter rain. God is moving by His Spirit again. By the anointing, Jesus breaks the yoke. So it's only by the anointing.
Yes.
If we are hoping or looking for other avenues, it will not work. It's only by the Spirit of God it will work. And then, in that whole picture of Psalms 133, it was shifted a little bit more to the scene of northern Israel with the mountain. The highest mountain in Israel is supposed to be Mount Hermon. That's supposed to be 19,000 feet high or meters high, if I have it wrong. And that's the highest point. And so because of its height, it is said that it is mostly snow-capped or covered with snow. And you know what? That snow, as the word says, it's like the dew or the rain or the water or whatever that flows down from Mount Hermon. That's a beautiful picture of the anointing of the Lord, how He is working in the church. The church is strong today. The church is growing strong today. And we're not going to fool ourselves. Yes, the church has got difficulties. Yes, the church has got problems. But the church is moving on. And the church is moving on for Jesus Christ. So, that really is what the Lord wants to emphasize among us, that anointing of the Holy Spirit. We need that anointing in our lives. That will cause us to overcome and to become victorious, because we are living in a time, we are living in spiritual warfare, where we have to be on praying grounds. And it's only by the anointing we can get the victory of the Lord. So, it speaks here about this anointing, and it says, it flows. And that particular word, as you read Psalm 133, you will see that particular word, flow. I'm not talking about a phone company here. The same instant. But I'm talking about this is an actual flowing of the Holy Spirit from heart to heart. And it's flowing there. And that's what is important. And even with Jesus, with his ministry, as he walked in Jerusalem, and he saw the sick, and he healed them, and he looked at people, and he just reached out to them with a deep compassion. He looked at the people he was speaking to, they were very hungry. And you know what? He was moved with compassion. And there it was, the miracle, and he was able to provide food for them. That was Jesus. So today, the Lord wants us to carry on earth. We have a ministry. We have a purpose. And every every one of us, we do have a ministry.
Amen.
We only tend to ascribe that to elders and deacons and so on. No, there are so many areas of ministry. God will use you just for you to find out what God has called you to. And that's why in the church we have the laying hands of the presbytery, so that with the laying hand of the presbytery through prophecy, that person is able to know exactly their gifts and calling.
Yes.
So I encourage us in the church, if we have not, to look to the Lord. Whenever the presbytery passing through, they can lay hands, and that impartation that takes place, it's only done by the Holy Spirit. It's not mechanically arranged as a human something or like an appointment. You know, that is not the way. It has to be by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was operating all the time by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He was walking and meeting people and talking to people, but he was in the Spirit.
Yeah.
And that's the way God wants us to operate.
Amen.
In the Holy Spirit. We can operate in the Spirit. We can, when we wake up in the morning, God can lead us.
Yeah.
In simple ways, God leads us.
Yeah.
By his Holy Spirit. Jesus said it in the book of Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And he spoke about that. And that was a beautiful picture too of the Holy Spirit. You know, he went into the temple, and everyone in those days, he went into the temple on the Sabbath day to read the scriptures. And they were reading, those in the temple, the priests and those who were there, and they were reading the scripture, different portions. Then came Jesus at the time that he had to read from the scripture. And that scripture in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, we will find almost exact words that are mirrored in Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. When it was the time that Jesus was to read from the Torah. The Torah is the Jewish scriptures. And when Jesus was to read, he got up and he read that. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me. And he specifically went down the areas that God has anointed him. Anointed him to do what? To preach the gospel to the poor. Yes, that's the anointing we're talking about. When God anoints us, he just does anoint us for a show. This is not for advertisement. This is for a specific purpose, to fulfill God's will. That's why he's anointing us. So that's why he wants to do something in our lives, to fulfill in us his purposes. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus said, after he read those words, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor.
Yeah.
He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance. Oh, hallelujah!
Yeah.
That's the work of the Spirit.
Amen.
And so we sometimes go through all these struggles. May the Spirit of God in us minister unto us the healings and the miracles and the deliverance in Jesus' name. That we can experience what God is saying to us. And experience that. This is not something to theoretically know. This is something that is very practical. It is the power of God. The church cannot live without the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The church cannot go on without the power of God.
Amen.
Today we find that there's so much and things that are happening. And the church has become more worldly.
Yeah.
And the people in the world are seeing it.
Yeah.
And so we need to come to attention and really be an example. Because the power of God and the anointing of God help us to live in holiness and righteously And he will give us the power to walk and to do the right things from time to time. Yes, the Spirit of God. And then when Jesus was from time to time, he was challenged, he had the right answer. He had the boldness. He had the courage. And he answered those who were trying to criticize him and trying to find fault with him. He knew exactly where they were coming from, because that anointing gave him the wisdom. And so that same anointing that Jesus experienced in his day when he walked upon the face of the earth, that same anointing God wants you. God wants me. He wants us to work and to operate in that anointing.
Amen.
That we can be successful and be victorious in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Today, we need to come to that place and understand that the Lord will want us to do something new, to do something different in us. I encourage you to spend time in the Lord and just wait and see. I tell you what, even after Jesus came, and he was going away, he said, he's going to go away, is that so? And he said, but I'm not going to go and leave you comfortless. Hallelujah! We are not on our own. And so, he said, as he goes back to the Father will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And he will come. And with all of our struggles that we are going through, he will comfort us. And he will not only comfort us, he will guide us. And he will teach us. Because he is the teacher of all truth. And he will explain things. So, I understand, we don't understand, we would not comprehend all of this in the scriptures. None of us do. I don't. But you know what? The Holy Spirit, at the time that is needed, the Spirit of God will take that word and bring it into my mind and use it. So it's important, young people, it's important for us to keep reading the Word of God. We may not understand it if you read 10 verses or a whole chapter or 2 chapters. It's important that you read every day. Because it's the Word of God that the Holy Spirit will use to cause us to be victorious.
Amen.
It's the Word of God that the Lord will use to give us that word of wisdom.
Yes.
It's the Word of God that the Holy Spirit will use to teach us what we should do, how we should operate.
Amen.
And so that's very, very important that we lean on the Lord. You know, today we find that the church has drifted away from God. You know, I don't know, there are so much of things that are going on, all kinds of substitutes. But the Holy Spirit cannot be substituted. We might try to do some substitute, but we can't. We must just yield to Him and for Him to work in us. You know, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, when the men were seeking the Holy Spirit, seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit, what happened? Acts chapter 2 said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, what happened? There was a mighty rushing wind that came, and it just filled that whole place. And people, these people from different places, I think it was 16 different areas they came from, and they began to speak in this language. So the Holy Spirit wants to speak through you. And I'll just give a little side note here to encourage you. For those of us who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who have got the gift of speaking in tongues, I would say continue to speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues is an unknown language, known only to God. Even we ourselves don't understand it. the best professor that we might have here, the best language professor may not be able to understand that. But the Holy Spirit knows it.
Yes.
So we don't need to understand that. God knows and He understands. You see, we don't need to understand the way God is leading us. Our duty is just to follow in obedience, and He will just remove that curtain. He will say to us, "Behold! Behold!" And He will show us those mysterious things in the realm of the Spirit. After that had happened in the book of Acts, and these men received the Holy Ghost, what happened? They became different men and women. They became empowered. They were empowered by the Holy Ghost. What the church needs is an empowerment of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's what we need. And then, after that happened, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, Peter, one time he stood and he spoke one sermon, and over 3,000 people came to the Lord. Isn't that so? Today, what are we finding today? We have radio broadcasts, we have television, we have this and that, and 3,000 sermons, and barely one man. Is something wrong?
Yes.
So that's the point. It can only be done by the Holy Spirit. Only by the Holy Spirit. What can I do, Lord? What's my ministry? How can I help it? Just be led by the Spirit. Just be led by the Spirit. And Peter and John in the book of Acts there, you know, they were just going to the gate and got into the temple to worship God. And as they were going, they were confronted by a man. He was begging. He was seeking alms. He was seeking the wrong thing and wasn't even aware of that. Peter and John says, "Look on us." That's the direction of the church. The world needs, they need to look on us and see and experience the power of God. That's what they're doing. But it's a question that they are seeing anything. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's the power of God. That's done by the anointing. That's through the Holy Spirit. He will teach us to do these things. You know? And that's what God wants us as the church. So during this time of camp, some of us may say, "Well, you know, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And I speak in tongues and so." But you know what I tell people? Get back to the gas station. In other words, I mean, go back for a refilling. We need to be filled and refilled every single day. That's what we need to be. Because could you imagine driving a car and the gas is showing empty and we want to move and we can't go any further? That's a typical example sometimes. The church expects to move on without the Holy Spirit. It will not happen. And that's the only thing we need to come back to that place. And the little song says, "Let the church be the church." What? Amen. Have we settled that question? And so that's what we need to do. May the Lord help us. I often like to encourage young people at our camp. Recently at North Carolina, we had some beautiful young people. And we're so happy to have you here. I use the word beautiful. I can't think of another word to describe our young people. Because it seems something about young people, they have the energy.
Yes.
And they have the willingness. And so they're just the prime just to be used of the Holy Spirit. And so this group of young people, they gathered together in a place called Bales. And they have just began praying. Just the prayer meetings. Just the prayer meetings. You see how the things of God are very simple? And they began praying and praying. And just like that, the Holy Spirit began to use them.
Amen.
And you know what? There was a man by the name of Evan Roberts and the others here. You know what? God used them. The Holy Spirit used them to tumble wheels upside down.
Yeah.
And so what St. Vincent needs, what the Caribbean needs, what the islands need, is a moving of the Holy Spirit. When people see a revival is on, when people see the church is on fire, they're going to sense and see the difference. Maybe the reason why people are not respecting the church, because we find all kinds of people. The church has become worldly, doing things that are not pleasing to God. So we just be careful. If we want the blessings of God, we want the power of God, and the anointing, we must be submissive. Remember what the Word of God says, it's not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God.
If you would like more information about the moving of God's Spirit, or resources for your spiritual life, please visit our website at www.globalmissionsinc.org.